Hello and welcome to episode 22 of Engaging Internal Comms. This is the show for employee engagers and internal communicators who like to keep up to date with new ideas and innovations in our profession. Hello, my name's Craig Smith from the Big Picture People. Well, we're up to episode 22 now of Engaging Internal Comms. If this is the first time you've listened to the show, hello and welcome. We have 21 previous episodes available, unsurprisingly. You can get those at our website, which is engagingic.com, or you can find them via the podcast platform that you're listening to this on, whether that's iTunes, Spotify, or whatever. We have all of our back episodes available there. So next week, I have an interview with Hilary Yu. Hilary is internal comms communications leader at Salesforce. And prior to that, Hilary worked at Amazon Web Services and also at Deloitte as well. So Hilary has got some really interesting insights for us about the challenges of helping our C-suite, or what we might refer to in the UK and Europe as our senior managers or senior leaders in the organization, to find their voice and to be able to communicate effectively with employees. As we all know, any of us who've worked with senior managers, some are very naturally good at communicating. Others, we have to encourage and cajole them sometimes to find their voice. Hilary's going to be giving us some fantastic tips and ideas about her work that she's done in that area, which is an area that she's specialized in her career. So I think that's going to be really interesting to you. If you haven't already done so, we have a Facebook group, which you're welcome to join, which is Engaging IC. If you just put that into, type that into Facebook, into the search bar there, you'll find us. And we also have a members area on there as well, which is a members group, which if you'd like to join that, just let us know that you heard about me mention it on this episode, episode 22. And also on our website, Engaging IC, we've got a little feedback form. We love to get some feedback from you. If you wouldn't mind giving us some feedback, we are looking to run series two. This is series one at the moment, and series two will be starting shortly after a short break. And we're just looking for some ideas for topics that you'd like us to cover, and any format, particular formats that you'd like us to cover as well. Final call out, if you haven't already done so, please subscribe to the show via your podcast platform. It really helps us to be visible, it helps other people to find us, and it just helps us to grow our audience. So on to the rest of today's show. If you're looking for some other ideas and inspiration when it comes to internal communications and employee engagement, I definitely recommend you jump across to our website and have a look on our blog page, which is thebigpicturepeople.co.uk/blog. We've got a number of different categories of blogs there, different topics that we write articles on, all of which will be relevant. We write articles about culture, values, employee engagement, implementing change, communicating strategies, communicating vision and purpose, and other specific topics like health and safety, which we help our clients with a lot. We do a lot of work in that area as well. So yeah, we've got lots of blog topics there. You can sort them and you can filter them out and find out anything that might be a relevance to you at the moment, anything you're looking for some ideas or inspiration on, then that might be a useful resource for you. For me, the line manager is absolutely key in any communications process and engagement process within an organization. It's very easy to fall into the trap, I think, of being very focused on content and methods and channels of communicating, and forgetting that actually the line manager, our line managers, when we work in an organization, and the line managers who manage our people, that is one of the most important relationships, business relationships that exist within any organization. And in terms of helping our line managers to be effective communicators and recognizing that skill, I think is a really important part of any internal communicator or employee engagers remit. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to explore this with someone who had some experience of this, but also shared some of these beliefs, and also to look at some of the challenges that exist within organizations where line managers are sometimes seen more based, or their prowess is based more around technical capability rather than their softer skills, and air quotes around softer skills there, of communications and coaching and supporting and the ability to be able to facilitate communication within their teams. So that's what the interview today is all about, and I hope you enjoy it. So today, my interviewee is Chris Coburn. Chris is currently Global Head of Internal Comms at XE. Before that, Chris was Board Director and Communications and Engagement Lead at John Lewis. Chris is a Master in NIC Management and is a certified member of the IOIC and is also a member of the CIPR. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning, Craig. I'm really well. How are you?
Very, very well, thank you. And just for the listeners, where are you based, Chris?
I'm based in Basingstoke, which is a little bit grey and rainy today.
And just for the people outside the UK, Basingstoke is approximate geography.
Oh, so it's about 50-something miles outside of London, going towards a sort of southwestish past Reading, that way.
That'll do.
My job is not my strong point.
No, that's no problem. And XE, I've mentioned you worked at XE. Not everybody may be aware of what XE does and is. So do you want to just give us a little bit of a background as to what XE is?
Yeah, sure. So look, our main product or service is all around money transfer, foreign exchange. So we have an app which about 20 million people have on their devices, and that helps people see sort of real-time currency exchange values. But they also can transfer money using the app or using our desktop. We also have about 200 million people who use our desktop every year. So if people need to make a payment abroad, or, you know, whether they're sort of buying something or doing whatever in a different currency, we just take the hassle out of that, really, because it can be pretty expensive and slow if you do it through your bank.
Yeah. And as I mentioned in the little preamble before we started recording, I've got the app, and it is a really good app. It's great. So XE, how large is the organization? How kind of geographical spread? And what is your role there at the moment?
Yeah, sure. So we've got just shy of 500 employees worldwide, and we are worldwide. So we've got offices in Auckland, Bracknell, which is the office I would spend most of my time in, other than my living room at the moment, and also California, but also in Australia. We're in Canada. So we do have a big spread. Yeah. And my role at the moment is, I'm accountable for all internal comms and what the sort of employee experience is and how we engage that sort of, you know, that workforce in a way that gets them behind what we're trying to do, and, you know, helps them live our values and all the cool stuff we tend to do in comms.
Okay. And the type of profile of people you got, I mean, like, obviously it's a very diverse, I'm sure,
gosh, but
yeah. So 500 people.
Yeah. That's the interesting bit, because in my previous role with the John Lewis Partnership, there's 85,000 people. So lots of people. So here, not as many people, but we've got sort of, you know, software developers, we've got corporate sales team, we've got sort of our operations, who make sure the sort of the money's going through and it's going through quickly. We've got compliance and risk and audit. We've got an HR team. We've got marketing. So it is, although 500 isn't, the biggest company, we do have a diverse set of roles. And obviously when you're operating out of Auckland and Bracknell and California, you've also then got the time zone challenge as well. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine.
Yeah.
So I heard you speaking recently at an IOIC conference online, and one of the areas I kind of picked up by, looking at your LinkedIn profile and engaging with you is, and I think it's an area we're both quite interested in, is this idea of the role of line managers in internal communications, an area I think that's often overlooked. We kind of get preoccupied a lot with content and channels and that sort of thing, but we sometimes often forget that for most of our people, the most important relationship and element of their communication flow is their line manager. So I'm really interested to know, because I think you feel the same way.
Yeah.
I know you're the same way to who I'm talking to. What's your sort of take on that, Chris? And why do you think line managers are so key for getting internal comms right?
I think there are lots of reasons. I think the sort of fundamental point for me is if you know whatever you put on your intranet, whatever you sort of churn out, whether it's a CEO blog, videos, whatever those things are, because how diverse organizations are today, and you know, diversity is a good thing. I want to be clear on that, and it definitely drives business value. Mm-hmm. I think what you've got then is you've got, you know, thousands of worlds, and what I mean by that is people have got their own world. So we can see the same piece of information, we can hear the same words, we can, you know, observe the same behavior, and you know, because we're all so different, actually the meaning we make from those messages, if you like, are going to be more personal to us. So what I believe is that line managers, if they're effective line managers, they're the ones who should have the strongest, most frequent and local relationship with the employees. So I believe they can help sort of bring that meaning to life in an accurate way through conversation. So what I would be clear on is I wouldn't see line managers as just a channel who read out briefings and say, oh, it says here that, you know, corporate's doing this. For me, it's that art of the conversation where they can ask those questions and, you know, and also take questions, and it's a two-way dialogue, if you like.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And I think it's a really important point that I think often gets overlooked is that internalization. And we have a series of questions that we kind of project back to our clients when we're working with them, which is to be, you know, can you answer these questions? And then they range from, you know, what are we trying to do and how are we trying to do it? But the last one is, are we serious? And I think that's a really important question, which is, it's very easy to pump out lots of information, but actually demonstrating that we're taking this seriously and that A, we've got kind of aligned behaviors across the organization, but my manager is kind of asking me questions about, did you understand that? Did you get why we're doing this? And can you understand how, you know, that project that we're working on, or why we keep talking about this particular area is so important, whether it's safety or whether, you know, whatever it's about. Why we keep talking about it and helping them, as you say, internalize it and make it relevant for their world, I think is a really, really key thing.
And
I mean, you said, you know, obviously you worked in John Lewis and you're working at XE now. I mean, where have you seen examples of that, you know, done really, really well? And also what some of the sort of problems that not having a kind of effective line managers working, you know, as this sort of lubrication in the communication cycle, what are your own personal experiences of that?
Yeah, so I think you need to understand how your organization works, and actually one sort of, you know, something that worked in your communication strategy in one business might not work in another. And actually where that sort of really came to life for me was obviously John Lewis and Waitrose are part of the same organization, but things work very differently in those two brands.
And
for me, the line manager is so critical, but if you look within the partnership, for example, you know, we had about 14,000-15,000 line managers. Now that then becomes very, very difficult to upskill and support all of those line managers. And when I talk about support, I don't mean sending them a briefing deck. I mean inviting them in, giving them space to make sense of things, getting them closer to your most senior team. So what we had to do there was sort of roll up a level or two and really focus on the business unit leads. So that's people who sort of are the most accountable or senior person within a unit, whether that be a shop or warehouse or whatever. Now that worked really well during times of change, because then what we had was somebody on the ground bringing it to life, holding conversations, But the other benefit of this approach is we had a feedback loop. So we had all these sort of, you know, if you like, eyes and ears out there, which you wouldn't necessarily have in a large organization. That could be difficult when you've got multiple sites. So actually, it was really beneficial for us as a communication teams as well, because then we would get sort of instant feedback, if you like, in terms of what people thought about things, how they were feeling, what they were saying, what they were doing. So not feedback like it landed well, you know, which I know is a sort of common one sometimes in groups, but that's not really that helpful. You want to understand what's the behavior, what is it that's happening.
Yeah. And what are people asking back in terms of questions?
Exactly.
What dots have we not joined?
Yeah.
We used to have it was interesting. I used to work in a factory and we used to have a process which was called rumor of the day. And what would happen is the shift managers would, they'd do their daily huddles at the beginning of the shift. And one of the things they'd be tasked with doing is harvesting what is the rumor of the day. Yeah. And that would be fed back in the manager's meeting to the area managers within the factory. And then at the senior management meeting that morning, we would have what's the rumor of the day. And that was like a collection of, oh, you know, they're closing the factory, such and such is leaving or whatever. And, you know, and it was great because actually some of them were quite worryingly accurate. But some of them were just complete, you know, kind of fake news. Not that that term existed back then, but it was really interesting because that we kind of knew, and we could then, you know, when we went out and spoke to people and engaged with them, we could sort of say, you know, someone has told me that someone's mentioned this, we just want to kind of make sure that you realize that isn't happening. It wasn't like it was a, big brother type thing, but it really helped, meant that when you go out on the floor, you're not just sort of exchanging pleasantries. You were kind of just talking about the stuff that was clearly worrying them or that was front of mind.
Yeah, it gives you a chance to face into it. And again, at XE, I'm sort of, it's not really a process, but the line managers are, straight into me for, hey, my team have mentioned this. Is it true? Because we've got to remember that sort of line managers are employees and people too, right? So they don't know everything. So you need to give them this safe space channel. So that kind of works really well at XE as well, because then, because I'm so close to the exec, we can sort of, deal with that as it happens. And I don't think people always maliciously spread rumors or wrong information. I actually, and perhaps I'm naive here, but I actually think people just want to share information, and most of them do so not knowing it's fake news, and I think that's the same, in society, on social media, as well as in the workplace. I would like to think the majority of people, if they knew it wasn't true information, wouldn't share it. And again, that's sort of, it is difficult to hear and see all those little nuggets flying around, which is again where for me the line manager comes in, because they might overhear the conversation, they might sort of see someone's behavior change, and then they're able to sort of say, oh, how are you, are you okay, what's wrong, and sort of uncover those things.
So let's drill in, because I think we agree that the line manager is important. I think from my experience, and I know when we chatted about this that you kind of concur a little bit with this, is that I think when you look at what people tend to get promoted for or selected for an interview, it tends to often be, technical skills, or tenure is one of the key things. And then comms skills tends to be a nice to have, not an essential, but desirable feature, let's say. Do you tend to find that sometimes, from your experience, is the case? And what are some of those skills that we should be looking for in line managers that mean they are going to be, part effective parts of that internal communication process?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, if I think about my experience when I was promoted into my first sort of supervisor role, it was pretty much because I was reliable. I turned up for work on time. I I was one of the very few people without disciplinary issues, so I'm not quite sure, you know, I was sort of Mr. Goody Two Shoes, but I was one of the youngest, and you know, that didn't I wasn't a great line manager, because I didn't really know, you know, and the fact that I just sort of got to work on time was just a bizarre way of of choosing. So, you know, that was back when you were sort of 17, 18. But I think whether it's a sales team, and it, again, in my experience, it's sort of the best seller that gets promoted, or you know, the person who's got the most technical knowledge in that field, or to your point, you know, someone who's been there the longest, let's give them a go. And it's almost like they've been there the longest. This is a way of rewarding you. But people have got to want to do it, because it's quite a lot of responsibility if you're going to do it properly. And again, in my experience, it's usually a bolt-on to a job. So you're usually doing, you know, your job description will have stuff in it. You know, you're responsible and accountable for stuff. Oh, and by the way, you have to lead all these people. And I think role design has a large part to play in improving it. I think in terms of comms skills, though, I think, again, in my early work days, sort of the training was around how to do a presentation. And I just don't think, you know, that's just so one way. It's just not right for today's world. Or a one-way presentation.
Yeah,
there's very few people who come out of that and say, "Oh, that was really engaging. I'm glad I attended that." So I think I go back to the art of that sort of conversation. So even how do you start that conversation?
Yeah,
you know what and that's about knowing your people. And it might be, you know, the sort of classic, and particularly in the UK, where you'll talk about the weekend or the weather or, you know, stuff like that, those classic ins. But then I would say being able to listen. I would say sort of facilitation skills. So drawing out contributions from people, being able to facilitate or chair a team meeting. I would say sort of coaching skills as well. Again, sort of getting people to think for themselves. And, you know, if they've just been to a town hall or something, sort of saying, well, what did, rather than saying what they thought about it, what did you think of it? What did you like? And what do you think that means for you? And what do you think that means to the business? What worries you? What excites you? And just being really sort of honest in that. And then I think also sometimes you've got to deliver difficult messages as line managers. And again, I have, through my comms network and experience, I've seen and heard lots where they might stand up in a team meeting, hide behind a piece of paper and say, well, it says here we're, reducing our, I don't know, healthcare benefit by 15%, and thank you, goodbye. So actually, how do you sort of support line managers to talk about the things that are a bit more difficult to talk about? And particularly, you know, in the climate we're in at the moment, I would imagine there's going to be lots of businesses doing some difficult decision, you know, taking difficult decisions and perhaps going through some large scale change. So how do you equip line managers to be able to face into those conversations rather than sort of bury their head in the sand and try to avoid them? Because they can be tough, right?
Yeah. I concur. I mean, I think the thing around the last point that you made there, which is this whole thing around delivering tough messages and not, I think there's a tendency sometimes for managers not to want to want to be liked rather than to be respected, and I think it's a tough thing. And I know, you know, you talked about your kind of you know, your sort of apprenticeship, as it were, and I remember my own experience of, you know, that kind of penny dropping moment, which is they don't have to like me, they just have to respect me, and and actually being their best mate is not really a good strategy to be an effective line manager. So yeah, being able to deliver a message, and a good friend and colleague of mine, he always talks about, you know, as a line manager, you tread this line between being supportive and robust. Yes. Being, you know, this is the way it is, guys, you just get on, need to get on with it, and I'll support you, but, you know, just you're just going to have to do it, and we're just going to have to deal with it. And that's why it's happening, and we need to support it, versus the, you know, putting your arm around them when you, you know, metaphorically anyway, but just sort of supporting them and empathizing with them, not sympathizing with them, is a really difficult thing. And I think that links to the first thing that you were talking about there, which is, we often, a lot of people end up being in a managerial role where they end up managing people they used to work alongside, which I think is one of the toughest thing, you know, gigs in the world. And I often don't think we help to prepare them to say, to ditch what's often referred to as the individual contributor elements of their job, which is kind of, you know, the job you used to do, and preparing for the job you're going to do now, which is a leadership role. And it's about, and communications, I agree, is a completely critical element of that. And so, hey, it's such a fantastic transferable skill, you know, for hopefully these people are going to stay with us and develop and nurture them into you know, roles within the organization. And if they're great communicators, they're going to be probably pretty damn good leaders going down the line as well, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. I think you can transfer it back at home as well, you know. It's these are skills that just help you in life.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
In social situations as well. So yeah, they're definitely worth investing in.
Yeah, yeah. So you've mentioned a couple of times, and again, it's something that's resonated with me, this importance of seeing that communication role of line managers not as just a kind of a megaphone to broadcast our messages through, but actually as a two-way vehicle to gauge the response, to be able to manage conversations, to be able to, and you know, and again, this is music to my ears because it's a key part of our work, but also my fundamentals of our beliefs, which is, you know, that you know, predominantly organizations tend to rely on a pyramid, and I sort of draw this pyramid out, which is at the top of that is kind of download, and then you've got a bit of debate, and then very little discussion. And it's the discussion, though, really, I think, where the real behavior changes. I mean, I think, you know, pushing against an open door, I think, from what you've said already, but what's the importance of discussion and conversation in communications today?
So again, it comes back to that meaning making. So, but look, people are meaning making machines, and you can't stop that, right? You're walking down the street, you see things, and you know, I guess the sort of the, if you were to take it to an extreme, you would say that people draw conclusions and make judgments, and sometimes they're not always right. So they're always doing that. And for me, the only way you can uncover and unpick the meaning they've made is through a conversation. Back to some of those questions: what do you think about that? How does that make you feel? What are you worried about? What are you excited about? So you sort of, you can then, and then one of two things will happen, right? They've either sort of made the meaning that you wanted them to make, and you like that, brilliant, that's great. Or you start uncovering some of the misinterpretations. And when I say misinterpretations, I don't necessarily think the person who has misinterpreted is the one to, I mean, there's not blame anyway, but for want of a better word, they're not the one to blame. This is where, as a communicator, for me, you've got to, you know, the comms going out, so to speak, isn't the end of it. It's sort of, you know, it's actually quite, it's much closer to the beginning, probably even more so than the middle. So it's where you've got to work hard to understand what it is that's out there. So what we've done at XE, so we've described our leadership team or our organization as a person, so as a body, and we've sort of described our executive team as the head, if you like, you know, lots of a lot of the thinking, and then the sort of, you know, all our employees are sort of like our hands and feet and sort of doing all the doing, and we're describing our leadership team as the spine. And the reason we've done this is because what we're trying to sort of encourage is that you're not just sending messages down to the fingers and toes. You're actually, stop me when this analogy's gone too far.
But no, I like it.
You're actually sending messages back up, right? So, you know, you touch that oven door and it's hot. We want to know about it. So, and something you said actually really made me think when you said you asked the question, how serious are you about this? And when we were talking about supporting our line managers, you know, being better communicators, the conversation around our exec was, you know, how serious are we about it? And they're very serious, it turns out. So every Monday, because we have people in Auckland and Sydney, at sort of 10 o'clock at night, our UK exec are on a call with all our line managers every week over the other sides of the world, just having a conversation, business performance, what's going on, how are you feeling, what are people doing, what are they saying? And they give up that hour every Monday. And then they give up an hour Friday as well to with the UK and Canada teams. And, you know, they've really invested in it. And I think although I'm an advocate of the line manager being so key, if you're going to do it properly, it takes effort and it takes time and investment. So you've got to have your eyes wide open, and it's made a big difference. You know, we can sort of feel the difference. You can, you hear the words of the CEO throughout the organization. And I always think that's a really good sign of how things are starting to sort of, you know, get through.
That's excellent. And how, I mean, when you came, is that something that you've kind of introduced, or were the foundations of that already there? Or was that something you've had to work really hard to kind of develop within the organization?
Yeah, that's without blowing my own trumpet. Yeah, XE didn't have any internal comms before, and it had just gone through a bit of a merger. So it was a bit chaotic. But you know what, I think it's been made a lot easier by the fact I get to work with a CEO who gets that. I mean, he has his opinion, but he gets that I'm the comms specialist and expert. And I think sometimes, you know, if there's comms people listening to this, I'm sure they'll have a little chuckle. Sometimes you work with people who think they can, you know, they're the expert, shall we say. But I'm fortunate enough that, you know, I'm the trusted advisor, and we've got a great relationship. So a lot of my energy goes into improving the standard of communication at XE rather than convincing stakeholders.
Yeah, no, that's a so much more satisfying role, isn't it?
I feel very lucky, yeah.
I mean, that takes us on really nicely to the kind of final point that I wanted to cover with you, Chris, which is, you know, there might be people out there listening to this who are thinking, okay, that's great. Where do I start? You know, I recognize that we need to do something with our line managers. They are a kind of maybe an untapped resource, or we're using them, but we could use them better. What would be your tips in order to raise the profile of the line manager as a conduit for communications, but also then once we've kind of sold that idea, where can we start developing them and helping them to improve their skills in that area?
Yeah. So I think the first part is a conversation with, and again, all organizations are different. So where the power and decision-making sits might be different, but of course, you know, you have that conversation. It might be your HR director. It might be your CEO. It might be perhaps, you know, there's a more senior, like a comms director, if you like, but I think you've got to start the conversation. There's tons of, material and research out there that sort of backs up this point about, you know, the line manager being a really effective way of engaging and communicating with people. So you can do a bit of research or get in touch, and I'll send you stuff. But for me, you then start with being clear on what your intent is. So one of the best tips I could give you is don't try and do this by stealth. Don't launch a training program of comms stuff for line managers and then do a big reveal that, oh, and by the way, you're now, you know, one of our main sources of communication.
So yeah.
Bring them on board and ask them what they think they need. Because again, that will really help you, but also be clear on what role you want them to play within your organization. And then if you do have an HR team that has a learning professional in, you can start doing sort of a learning needs analysis around where the gaps are. So if you start by saying, well, we want our line managers to be, you know, these sort of narrators, or, you know, these people that bring it all to life, then the skills they'll need, some of the ones we listed before about listening, coaching, you know, discussions. And then you need to go and see where that is at the moment. Because I do also think sometimes the quickest judgment assumption to make is that line managers don't have communication skills, but the real answer is we don't know. So we're doing a big piece of work at XE to really just raise the standard of communication, but not just from line managers. And I guess this would be my final tip. it takes two to have a conversation. So if you can, what is it you can, what sort of learning intervention can you do that helps all your employees get more comfortable with conversations, sharing their opinion, asking questions, you know, and if perhaps you've got a really large employee base, then target some. Is it people who have buddying responsibilities for new starters? Is it people who have been in your organization for a while? Is it people who, you know, are sort of like your influencers, if you like, who, you know, Dave in the warehouse, who everybody knows and who everybody goes to? What would it look like if you targeted those sorts of people? And then all of a sudden you're starting to create this movement where your entire business is becoming more effective at communicating, which I accept is simpler in a smaller business. So you've got to find the right fit for your organization.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a real, it can be a really tricky one. I know when my experience of we had a program at one of my former employers of developing in-house, we wanted all of our line managers to have some basic facilitation skills, both for a communication purpose, but also in order to be able to facilitate team performance reviews about, you know, KPIs and raise the profile of measuring our performance and as a team and fixing what we need to fix. So it's kind of bit CI-ish, but it was more than that. But it did raise some interesting challenges because you're absolutely right. You need to give people the benefit of the doubt because they might have some latent skills that we've never ever even talked to them about or developed with them. But I think sometimes it does raise some interesting issues, particularly around what do we do when we find line managers who are brilliant technical, but they just, you know, no matter how much we train and coach them, they're just never going to be able to do that communication role that we want. And how do we help them and support them and find a useful role for them that doesn't in any way, you know, but then, you know, how do we then recruit and select the people who have got those communication skills when our selection processes may be very skewed towards measuring different things that aren't necessarily about communication skills. So I think it does raise some really interesting, but I guess as you've said, the key thing is sponsorship, is having, you know, key people on board who kind of get it, like, you know, like it sounds like you've got it there at XC and so I've got that trusted advisor role and you can start to, you know, influence this sort of cultural shift, which is what you're essentially trying to do, isn't it? Yeah. If it's not something that already exists within the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you've just really made me think as well, you know, you wouldn't, if you hired a software developer and they couldn't code, A, you wouldn't have hired them, and B, you know, there might be consequences for that. But there are businesses, you know, and I know this through connections and lots of conversations, as well as my own experiences. There are businesses who get people into leadership roles who, through no fault of their own, because, you know, why wouldn't you take that opportunity if it's presented to you? But actually, they're not effective leaders. So the starting point, you know, as I think we've sort of mentioned a few times, is that being clear on what you're really hiring for.
I know we used to have some sort of quite sophisticated, I mean, again, recruitment and is always, particularly external recruitment, is always a bit, no matter how well you designed your selection process, there's always an element of risk in that. But we designed some assessment center activities that would, you know, kind of test that without them realizing that's what we were testing. And it was great that showed up as something, you know, rather than just numerical ability and, you know, and reasoning exercises and all of that sort of, you know, 16 PF type things. We actually got some exercise in there that sort of tested whether they could actually, you know, communicate with each other, which was a really important. Anyway, look, that's been absolutely fantastic, Chris. Really interesting there. I think, you know, for me, I guess, you know, well, for me, you're definitely preaching to the converted, but I think, for me, the kind of key role of line managers and not just seeing them as this conduit, recognizing that as internal comms and employee engagers, we need to sort of really get our arms around our line managers, because that is really where the rubber hits the road, I think, in terms of any of the things that we're trying to do within the organization. And being really conscious of the fact that conversations, discussion. It's not about being able to do a great PowerPoint presentation, which is, you know, can be important. Yeah. But it's about that ability to engage people. And someone once said to me that everything, any change in the world always starts with a conversation. And it's true. Yeah. If you think about it, anything we've ever been influenced to do will have started with someone talking to us about it and having a conversation, not just sort of seeing something and thinking, oh, that sounds like a good idea. So
yeah, absolutely. Just opening people's minds to, you know, different possibilities and getting them to think or question things in a different way. Important.
Yeah. Brilliant. So I forewarned you when we spoke a couple of weeks ago that I always ask my interviewees about something that even people who know them really well don't know about. And I never know what you're going to say. I always deliberately say, well, don't tell me. So I'm all ears, Chris. So what's your sort of not guilty secret? What's the thing you want to share with the world?
Yeah, I listened to one of your podcasts the other day with I think the lady's name was Tracy, and she spoke about she'd done skydiving. Thing like,
yeah,
goodness me, mine's nowhere near as exciting. I think I don't hide it, but people are always surprised. I'm a pretty good baker of things like cookies and donuts, so like sweet things. And I don't watch Bake Off. I don't necessarily, you know, I haven't got tons of recipe books. I just sort of you know, I've been quite good at it. I mean, to the point where I remember when we, back in my day, we used to have these things called offices that you'd go to work in. And, you know, I would take cookies in and people would, they'd genuinely think I bought them from the shop. So I ended up having to sort of video myself making them and then taking them into work. So, yeah, it always surprises people. I don't know if it's, you know, sort of there with my bald head. I don't look like a baker, but I guess that's my semi-secret, but I don't keep it secret.
No, wait, I'm one day perhaps when we can meet up physically and face to face, you can bake me a cow. Sounds brilliant. I mean, you've always got you know, you'll always be in demand.
In case this comms thing decides
the world decides that we don't need comms anymore. Yeah. It sounds like you've got a fantastic transferable skill there. But no, that's brilliant. And I wish I could bake. I'm miles away from Well, look, Chris, you mentioned something there. I made a quick note of it about and we can pop in the show notes. So you mentioned I think it was some research that had been done, in terms of you know, the kind of data around raising the profile of line manager. I think it was anyway. I made a note of write in show notes, and then I didn't write down actually what it was. But yeah, you mentioned there was some, if people wanted to get in touch with you, you could send them some stuff, but maybe we can put those links in the show notes as well if you can recall what it was.
Oh yeah, definitely. Let me go. I mean, a lot of this came up when I was studying for my master's. So okay. I've got reams of notes, so I can back through and dig them out. I mean, and there we can share them. And like I said, if anybody then wants to sort of, look, I'm on this bus, where do I start? Anything I could ever do to help anyone in the comms community, I'd be delighted to.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I was going to say, I'll put a link to your LinkedIn profile.
Sure,
Is that the best way for people to engage with you? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's how I got engaged with you.
It works.
Well, that's brilliant. Well, look, Chris, I've really, really enjoyed that conversation. Really kind of sort of meeting of minds, but I'm sure with meeting with minds with a listener as well, and in terms of many people out there, I think this will resonate with and strike a chord. So really, really, really interesting, and I've really enjoyed that.
Yeah, thank you so much. Me too. Thank you.
Yeah, take care, Chris. Thank you.
All right, you too. Bye.
Thanks. Bye bye. So thank you very much for listening to Engaging Internal Comms. We hope you found this episode useful and interesting. We'd love to get your thoughts about the show and any questions you have or ideas for topics that you'd like to maybe cover in future episodes. You can email us at info@thebigpicturepeople.co.uk, or you can get in touch with us via the contact form at engagingic.com. You can also sign up for our mailing list there, and we'll send you relevant news about the show, future episodes, and we'll also let you know about anything interesting we found out about internal communications and employee engagement. If you like the show and you haven't already done so, please subscribe to it via your podcast service. And you can also subscribe via the links on our podcast page, which again is engagingic.com. If you like the show, we'd be really grateful if you could leave us a review. And if you know anyone else who might be interested in the show or might benefit from it, please let them know. Please share it with them and share them the links to the show and engagingic.com. Thank you very much. Thank you.